I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I was ready for the second one. All right, I was right there. I was ready to roll. It is a good morning. Good morning. Good morning to all of you. Good morning to you at large, America. Welcome in the 4-hour sports talk extravaganza. That is the Rob Brown Show. Starts right now. Welcome back. Good to have you. Happy whatever today is. Wednesday? Is that a Wednesday?
It's Wednesday. Wednesday, right? Yeah, it is.
Happy Wednesday, my dudes and my dudettes. It is indeed wonderful to have you here with us. Us, because there's two of us. I am one half of us. I am Rob Brown. The other half of us is, of course, the man on the other side of the metaphorical glass this morning, the guy in charge of this and every radio station show that you like, enjoy, and three of them that you don't. He is the alpha and the omega of the fan upstate, the sultan of swag, the professor of perfection, the content cash cow, the wizard of wave, Colonel Grudge himself. The great one, Lonzo's here as well. What up, Zo?
I got to figure out those three. I'll be working on that.
Which three?
You said, and three of them I don't, that you don't.
Oh, yeah.
So I got to make those better.
I mean, it is your job. It is your job, technically speaking, to make every radio show in the upstate good. If there's one, it's going to go real bad.
In this building, you know, other places, I don't care so much about.
I got to tell you, did you get the link to your headshots yesterday?
I haven't looked at them yet.
I did. I'm ridiculous. Big fan.
What, yours?
Big
or
fan.
Yours or ours?
Mine.
Oh, ones... so you just worried about you. Okay.
No, I only got the link for mine.
Okay. You didn't get ours together? No?
Hang on. I'm scrolling down. Here's the problem. They sent me like 1,000 of them, and I'm really stoked. They sent me like 1,000. No, they only sent me the one for mine. Let me see if the other link is for us. Except for, they're like, please take a moment to review and choose a few that you'd like edited. I'm like, there's 110. I want all of them. It's risky to turn this around, but here's the cover photo they decided to go with for our album, Great One. It's the one where Lonzo unexpectedly and without advance notice put me in a friggin' chokehold. Like, that's totally normal. That's just a thing that we do around here.
Yeah, I'm looking. I hate every single one of them.
I don't actually think they're dope, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm bringing the glasses back, and they're staying. All right, I left them at home. I'm like, I don't know. I feel like maybe I've gone above and beyond. Maybe it's a little bit too much, but now that I see them, the glasses are coming back, and they're staying. For sure.
Okay, I got everybody's.
I didn't. You must be. Well, it's because you're management.
I guess.
That's your management. You're important. We got a show lined up for
you. I'm currently looking at Kevin.
Oh, Kev. We got a show lined up for you today, people. A lot that we need to get to and talk about on the radio broadcast as we continue to now turn our eyes and attention, both of them, actually, to the weekend upcoming in football and basketball, because the NBA started back up last night. The Boston Celtics are, and this is true, I did the research, still good. 29 threes last night, tied the record for the most three-pointers made in a basketball game by an NBA team. They tied the record. They tied the record at 29. And then they missed 13 in a row to end the game. They needed one more. One more to hold the record to 30. Missed 13 in a row after that. We're going to talk about the Boston Celtics and the New York Knicks coming up later in the show. Bronny and LeBron get their moment in the sun last night. They checked in at the same time, become the first father-son duo in the history of the NBA to share the floor at the same time. I will acknowledge that it was a cool moment. All right, I was tuned in. I was interested. I was excited to see the history made. I like seeing history made. I like when you get the opportunity to check in knowing that history is going to be made, knowing that something is about to happen. And you know it was going to be very cool? Because in attendance last night were the Griffies, senior and junior, were there last night. Another father-son duo. The first father-son duo to share the diamond together in Major League Baseball. Of course it makes sense that they were going to be there. That was very cool. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. We got to get to some NFL coming up later in the show. You know, one of the things that I do is pat myself on the back when I'm right. But as I think I put on display yesterday, I also hold myself accountable when I am wrong. I think it's important. I think the difference between me and a lot of other hot take artists in this industry, and maybe this is or good or bad, I don't know yet, but I think the difference between me and a lot of other people in this industry is that I acknowledge that being wrong is something that happens. And to me, it's important to own it, right? Hey, I got that one wrong. It is what it is. I've gotten a lot wrong about South Carolina this year. I have apologized for that to Shane, to the program, to you, the fans, specifically the Alabama game. I have apologized quite a bit. I don't have an issue with that. People are wrong all the time. But also, I'm going to tell you what I'm right, too. And yesterday, as I was scrolling around sports podcasts frequently, I'm building a fire pit out in my backyard right now. Not like a hole in the ground. I'm building like a nice outdoor patio seating area. And I was out in the backyard yesterday working on that, listening to some podcasts, listening to some radio. And I think it's great that so many of you have started to recognize what I told you going into the season. And it's that the Baltimore Ravens are, as they have been called multiple times, a wagon. Just a wagon right now. That team's real good. And it's because of what I said preseason was going to happen. Derrick Henry's the perfect fit for that team. He was the piece that they needed. Them grabbing him, absolute cheat code to win the AFC this year. Not saying that is what's going to happen. Just that they are the biggest threat the Chiefs have faced in a very long time. But also, there's more. There's more is that apparently the Buffalo Bills are still very active in the trade market right now. Apparently the Bills are trying to find someone to add to the opposite side of the pitch from Amari Cooper. And apparently there might be another Cooper in the rotation because the Rams apparently have Cooper Kupp up on the trade block. Now this is very interesting. Because the Rams are apparently seeking nothing more than a second-round pick for Cooper Kupp, which I think is fair. I think it's fair. But apparently they're seeking a second-round pick for Cooper Kupp. O and BT Dubs, in case you're paying attention. They're also willing to, apparently also willing to pick up a chunk of his salary in return for a second-round pick. Now, that makes things a little bit more interesting. And the reason it makes things a little bit more interesting, at least in my ever so humble opinion, apparently the reason it makes things a little bit more interesting, great one, is that there is another team that is in the mix for Cooper Kupp right now that will only come onto the discussion if the Rams are indeed looking at, or at least willing to pay off a chunk of Cooper Kupp's salary, and that's your Kansas City Chiefs. Does Cooper Kupp not feel like the absolute perfect wide receiver for Patrick Mahomes?
I think any receiver works in Kansas City.
That's not what I asked. I said, does he not feel like the absolute perfect wide receiver for Patrick Mahomes?
And used asset by the future dynasty, yes. But if they don't get him, this to be all right.
I didn't say they would. But
what are they willing to give up for him? That's the question.
The question mark is would they be willing to meet the sale price, which is what is reportedly being asked right now? Would they be willing to meet the sales price of a second round pick? And the answer for me would be, you got to do that.
Yeah, they would.
You got to do that. I understand. Listen, I'm going to say this, and I
his health is a concern, though. I mean,
for sure.
When's the last time he played an entire season?
I think he only missed like a couple of games last year, right? Now, granted, it was down the stretch when they kind of needed him, but I think he only missed a couple of games last season. But
if the Chiefs bring him in, though, is he an every down receiver, or do they use him here and there?
I think he's an every down receiver, but I think he's an every down receiver that is utilized to try to open up the field for some of the other bros, A. And B, I'll tell you what I think he is. I think he's your improv wide receiver. I think he's your, hey, if you turn your head back and you see that Patrick Mahomes is back there running for his life, do Cooper Kupp things.
Well, they already have that in Travis Kelce.
I don't disagree, but I think if you put Cooper Kupp can do things, just like Travis Kelce can do things Cooper Kupp can't do, Cooper Kupp can do things Travis Kelce can't do. Travis Kelce's predominant skill set, when things get convoluted around Patrick Mahomes, is to find space in the middle, right? Find space in the middle. Find space running across the middle of the field. Find space in the second level of the defense. Find space in that area. Cooper Kupp's a guy that can find space anywhere. Here's what I will say. I would be willing, if I were you, great one, if I was the Chiefs, I would be willing to come off a second-round pick for Cooper Kupp, not because I feel like he's going to come in and be a super dynamic player in the offense. I'd be willing to give up a second-round pick for Cooper Kupp so the Bills can't and so the Ravens can't. Now, I don't know if the Ravens got that much juice left in them because they got Derrick Henry for nothing. Derrick Henry's like the 86th highest-paid dude in the NFL, right? Like, they got it. I'm not going to say they got him for nothing, but they got him for nothing compared to what he's doing right now with the Ravens. By the way, you know how we've talked about copium before? Copium is you doing whatever you've got to do to cope with a scenario. So you make stuff up. Jerry Jones did another radio hit yesterday, and he was like, "Yeah, I don't think Derrick Henry be having the same year with the Cowboys. I just think he's been." Jerry Jones coping with the fact that everybody's still mad at him for not even calling Derrick Henry's hilarious. We'll come back to that later on. But if I'm the Chiefs, I'd be willing to give up a second rounder for Cooper Kupp just so Josh Allen and the Bills don't get him. Because Josh Allen and the Bills with Cooper over the top, Coleman in the middle, and Cooper Kupp as the oblique wide receiver out there, I think that's the most dangerous. The Bills would go from perhaps the worst they've been built around Josh Allen to perhaps the best they've been built around Josh Allen that fast. Because while I don't think Amari Cooper is Stephon Diggs, he's not. He ain't far off. And he ain't far off, and Keon Coleman is developing nicely. I'm not ready to say he's there, but he is developing nicely. Did you see the play in the Bills game? Everybody was talking about where Cooper lines up. Excuse me. Yeah, Amari Cooper lines up left, and then Keon Coleman is flanked out wide of him. And Allen calls the play, and they line up, and then Allen audibles out of the play. And he looks over, and he gives the signal to Amari Cooper about the play change. And Cooper looks over at Keon Coleman, and he kind of like gives the shrug, like, I don't know what to do here. And Coleman literally hits him with a hand sign, right? Hits him with like, you're on the skinny post. You're on the skinny post. Run this route. And then Amari Cooper runs that route. Allen hits him in the hands for a tutty. Right, it was the exact route that Keon Coleman simulated with the Saints. It was spectacular. And they go into the locker room. And I thought this was very cool. They go into the locker room after, and they ask Keon Coleman. They're like, yo, what did you tell Amari? Did you tell him what route to run? And Amari's like, no, that's not what happened. He's like, you know, we made an audible. We just communicated. Said you can never get fined for over-communicating. You can't over, there's no world in which you get in trouble for over communicating. And I'm like, that's a really dope take from a rook, right? That's a really aware take from a rookie. I think that's stellar. I think Keon Coleman is shaping into a pretty good young player as a number two. Now you got the one in Amari Cooper. You give me that three to Josh Allen with Cooper Kupp, that's terrifying. Even if you don't intend to use him that often, Lonzo, I'd say a second-round pick for Cooper Kupp to Kansas City is well worth it just to keep Lamar and Josh Allen from getting their hands on him.
See, I know how this is going to sound. Do you sweat other teams, or do you just worry about taking care of your team? I get your what you're saying about strategy, but if you're too worried about everybody else, I don't think that the Chiefs operate that way. If they get him, they would go after him because they could use him as a weapon, not to take him away from everyone else.
The answer to me is both, and I think if you're not doing both, you're not doing your job. I think if you're not dialed in on what other people are doing, if you are, it is good to be introspective, right? It is good to look at you and go, here's how I handle my business. How do I do this? How do I get better? How do I handle my business? And that's great. And you should do that. Everyone should do that. But I also think if you want to get ahead, you have to be looking at what everybody else is doing. And you have to be evolving and adapting and overcoming alongside that. I was talking about it earlier in this segment. When I get done with this show, I watch my wrestling, all right? I watch my wrestling, and for the rest of the day, from the time that I leave here until the time that the wife gets home and it's dinner time or whatever, I listen to other shows, and it's for two reasons. Number one, because I want to be entertained, sure. But also, number two, because I want to hear what everyone else is doing, saying, talking about, focused on, dialed in on, etc. Because if you miss the wagon as it rolls on by, you get left behind, right? And so if I'm driving around and I'll give you an example. I think it is important to listen to our in-market competitors. I listen to our in-market competitors all the time. And it's, for the record, I think all the dudes that work over there, all great dudes, all of them. Every time we see each other in ACC Media Days or Clemson Open House Day or South Carolina Open House Day or whatever, dap them up, say what's good, how we doing, fellas, let's grab a brew. Good dudes, like them, but they are our competitor. And I tune into them regularly. And I tune into them regularly so I don't get left behind. I don't miss the boat. They don't jump on something that I missed and I get left behind. To me, it's the same thing. If you were the Chiefs, are you focused on being the best Chiefs team you can be? You're absolutely right, you are. But I promise you, you're watching game films on the Bills, right? Yeah, Andy Reid's in there watching game film about what that defense is doing.
When you're playing them. When you're not, you don't care about them. You move on to who you're playing next. Game plan is about who you're playing next, not who you potentially might play later.
I think with the team, spot on. With the team, I'm not going in there and I'm not bugging Xavier Worthy with when we get to Buffalo, here's the looks you're going to see. But if I'm Andy Reid, I am. I'm 3 weeks out, I'm looking at that team just to make sure there's idiosyncrasies I've picked up on. And I will also say that if you're not aware of who your biggest competition is, not necessarily every bit of it, but your biggest competition, right? Like, it is one thing for me to leave here in the afternoons and tune into our direct competitor to listen to what they're doing, to hear what they're doing, to see what they're doing that works and see what they're doing that doesn't work versus, and I say this respectfully with all the love and attention in the world, versus me going to find the dude from Spartanburg that has a podcast that gets 5 downloads a month on Spotify, right? Like, I'm not dialed in on that. I'm not worried about that. But if I tune into the big dog, the guy that's on the other side of the road, the guy that I'm competing for earballs with every day, yeah, I'm tuned into that guy all the time to see what works. And if I can do something...
If I'm listening to another show, it's a national show. I'm not listening to anyone locally. You look up, not sideways, not back. You look up. You see the guys up there who are successful on a national level, and that's who I would strive to be if I was doing that. The people who are or adjacent, the people who are behind, the people who might be a little bit ahead, I don't care what they're doing. I want to perfect what I'm doing.
See, here's the thing, though. Our job is to get local listeners, right? Our job is to get local listeners, just like your job is to win the AFC if you're the Chiefs. Our job is to get local listeners. I am not going to pick up local listeners by emulating, and I'm going to say this, I'm going to take myself down here. I'm not going to pick up local listeners by emulating Jim Rome. That's Jim Rome's niche. I'm not fitting into that, right? I'm not going to pick up local listeners by emulating Bill Ryder. They've already got their thing. I'm not trying to emulate the guys across the road either, for the record. I'm not trying to copy paste. I'm trying to figure out what they're doing that's working and do it better. I'm trying to figure out what are they doing? What can I pick up on that I do it better? Because that's my competition, right? If you're the Chiefs, it is one thing to say, all right, the Patriots had a 20-year dynasty. What can we beg, borrow, steal, take, copy from them to build us into more of a dynasty? At the same time, the Patriots aren't the threat to you. The Bills are. The Ravens are. So we need to be keeping an eye on them, an eye over there as well, to figure out what they're doing and saying and adapting and getting better and doing so we can one-up them. And if the answer is pay a second rounder to get Cooper Kupp so Josh Allen can't have that toy, that's absolutely the move to make. Let's take a break, come back. We'll talk more NFL on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I didn't have this on the docket for this particular segment, but what the hell? Why not? Happened last night. Bronny James makes his debut for the LA Lakers. First time a father and son have ever shared the hardwood in the National Basketball Association. History made third quarter when Bronny checked in for the first time along with his dad. JJ pulled LeBron, sat him on the bench for a few minutes, and then allowed the two of them to check in together for the first time. And I will acknowledge, as I've said, my take on this has been, do I think Bronny James is an NBA player yet? No, I think Bronny James has a lot of his game that needs to be developed. I think there's a lot of shaping and molding left for Bronny James. I don't think Bronny James got the full opportunity at USC to develop his game all the way. You remember he had the heart issue and he missed a solid chunk of USC season. I think on top of that, there's no world in which Bronny James has gotten the amount of unbiased coaching that he needs to be the best basketball player he can be. And I do think he's a good little player, but I think he's underdeveloped. However, Jersey Joe popped on the stream. He said, we all need to remember that if LeBron wasn't playing anymore, Bronny would still be in his Trojan uniform. We all know LeBron runs the Lakers, and what LeBron wants, LeBron gets. Ridiculous. All right, there's a lot of different angles to this that I want to respond to from Jersey Joe. And I will start with this one. LeBron James is your primary moneymaker if you're the LA Lakers. He sells more unis than anybody else. He sells more tickets than anybody else. He brings in more revenue to the Lakers than anybody else. And I would be willing to bet, though I don't know. In fact, I'll see if I can find this number right now. In fact, I'll just use jersey sales by player for right now. Steph Curry is the only one I know. Steph Curry is the number one jersey seller in the NBA right now. Looking at the top 10 selling NBA jerseys in ascending order from 10 to 1. Tyrese Maxey is number 10. Dame Lillard, number 9. Kevin Durant, number 8. Devin Booker, number 7. Luka Doncic, number 6. Giannis Antetokounmpo, number 5. Victor Wembanyama, number 4. Jason Tatum, number 3. Steph Curry, number 1. LeBron James, number 2. He's a meal ticket. Okay? It is important to the Lakers. Number two, LeBron James is still really good at basketball, y'all. Like, I know he's not the same offensive threat that he used to be. It's obvious, right? If you watch that game last night, you can see it. At coming up on 40 years old, or at 40 years old, LeBron James is not the same put the head down and go to the basket scoring threat that he used to be. But he absolutely is still a put the head down and get to the basket scoring threat, A. And B, point forward LeBron is dangerous because the man learned how to throw dimes, learned how to throw assists. He's dangerous. He's still a great player. I would go so far as to say LeBron James is, even at 40, still one of the best 20 players in the NBA, 15 players in the NBA, somewhere in that ballpark. I'd say 10 to 15 players, one of the best 10 to 15 players in the NBA. And he sells all that merch, and he's got all these other things going on for him. Yes, it's LeBron's team. And part of the reason so that we're clear is because Anthony Davis just refuses to step up and be the hero that LA brought him there to be. So it is a little bit on that. But I'm not going to disagree with you, Jersey Joe. I think if Bronny wasn't Bron's kid, does he get drafted? I think so. And Lonzo has talked me around on this. Lonzo has taught me around on this. Because initially, my thought was, this is a spot that is probably a little high for Bronny. For a guy that has not played an entire run in the NBA, in college ball, for a guy who has not had the full run of college development, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe 55th overall was a bit high for Bronny James. But let's also consider what comes along with Bronny James. Not only do you keep LeBron happy, which you can say that, and it's easy to say it about LeBron because he's the most visible player in the NBA. Do you know what other NBA teams go out of the way to keep their star player happy? Spoiler alert, all of them do. Every one of them. If Jason Tatum walks into Brad Stevens' office in Beantown and says, "Yo, Bradley, in order for me to be happy, I would like this to happen," unless it's a ridiculous request, the Celtics are going to make it happen. If Tyrese Maxey walks into the GM's office in Philly and says, "Yo, I need you to do this for me," they're going to do it. It's just that LeBron, and I do put it here, sorry, LeBron is so outspoken in matters outside of basketball that a lot of people are going to be all up his hind end for anything that he does, as if Giannis Antetokounmpo doesn't have the same power, as if Steph Curry doesn't have the same power, as if Tyrese Maxey, as if Tyrese Halliburton, as if every star doesn't have the exact same sway over their team. It's just that Bron's Bron.
See, I don't like all the stuff that he talks about outside, and I've talked about that before. I don't think that's the deal. I think I think people started hating him after the decision because
100%.
Yeah, and because of that, they can't let that hate go. But on the court, he's one of the best of all time. In some people's eyes, he is the best of all time. Let it go, people. The star player's in charge just about everywhere you
100%,
go.
100%, especially in the NBA. 100%, that's accurate. It's just that, and I agree, and you can say it's because, and I do think the decision played into it because it felt to me like the decision was kind of the beginning of the creation of this LeBron character outside of basketball that we have. But I think it's a little off to say LeBron's openness about politics doesn't play into this. LeBron's support of different causes doesn't play into this a little bit. That's not for everybody. There are some people who just dislike him. I know personally a couple of dudes who probably line up with LeBron's politics, but they don't like him for one reason and one reason alone. Because dudes like me say he's better than Mike. And that is enough for them not to like
it. Right, and that's the thing. People automatically hate him for that. If you get rid of all the politics and you go back to LeBron before you knew anything about all that other stuff, he still would have had this treatment. as far as star treatment because he's a star. And you're right. In the NBA, it is, I mean, that's how it's done.
It is how it's done. So by bringing in Bronny, you keep LeBron happy, which is good. You get a guy who, despite not having the full ability to develop in his college days at USC because of his medical issues, is a pretty good player. And like we pointed out, quick, any of you tell me anything about pick number 56, Kevin McCullough Jr. Here, I'll make it easy. Where'd Kevin McCullough Jr. go to school? Where'd he play his college ball? I would bet about 5% of you know. It's Kansas. Quick, tell me anything about pick number 54, Anton Watson. Where'd he play his college ball? I bet about 5 of you know. Gonzaga. The point here is, I don't really think you overdraft LeBron. Lonzo taught me around on this. I don't think you overdrafted Bronny. And even if you did, overdrafting Bronny by 5 spots in order to make sure LeBron is satiated coming in this year, that's worth it. That's very worth it. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. One more thought, then we move on for that conversation. Because it is football. Zach checked in on the stream. You should check in on the stream. Facebook.com/TheFanUpstate. The Fan Upstate on YouTube. The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Zach said, who better to develop Bronny than his dad? Yeah. And I don't know. I can't, obviously can't speak for everybody. But I would say that that is likely accurate. As my old man was my coach in everything. And I will tell you, there are, in my experience, as a coach's son, as a coach, and as a son. There's two types of coach's sons. There's the coach's son for whom the dad only coaches so that he can make his kid the all-star. And then there's the coach's son whose dad coaches. I can do this. Then there's the all-star whose dad coaches so he can develop his kid into an all-star. And there is a difference.
There's a clip on X, and I think it's actually on Instagram, but they shared it on X right before Bronny goes out, and LeBron is telling him stay focused and all this kind of stuff. And I know he's not acting because we've seen him act, and so I mean it's really good advice before he goes out on the floor. If you haven't seen that, you should check that out.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Listen, you.
I mean, you know when you're mic'd up if you're those guys. So, but still.
For sure. And you can tell that this matters to LeBron, right? I've said a couple of times, my thought on this has been, regardless of how I feel about LeBron James, regardless of how I feel about Bronny James, about J.J. Redick, about the L.A. Lakers, regardless of how I feel about any of this, I'm super, super happy. My froth is peaked for LeBron James.
My froth is peaked, bro.
Yeah, my froth has peaked for LeBron because how cool is it, right? I've said a whole lot of times, I would give away everything I owned for 10 minutes on a basketball court with my old man. 10 minutes on a basketball court, you can have everything I own and have ever owned for 10 minutes on a basketball court just to shoot free throws with my old man and BS, right? Big fan. So I get it. But from the perspective of the Lakers, from the perspective of Bron and Bronny and his ability to be a player, et cetera, there's two types of coaches' sons. There are the sons whose dads coach so that they can make their kid the all-star, and then there are sons whose dads coach so they can develop their kid into an all-star. I was very fortunate. My old man, when he was my coach, and he coached everything, my dad did not know a damn thing about soccer. But when I was playing soccer, my old man went and learned about the game, went and learned everything he could learn about soccer. And he went and learned everything he could learn about soccer so that he could get out there, coach my PASA team, my youth team. He could get out there, coach my youth team, and coach me and try to develop me into a good soccer player. When I started playing T-ball, my old man, who obviously didn't know a lot about baseball, but he wasn't a coach, right? He was just a fan. But he went and learned how to coach baseball so that when I played T-ball and coach pitch and, eventually graduated into Little League ball, my dad was able to coach me. My dad was able to actually coach me to be a better baseball player, not just as a fan, but as a coach. And then when we got into the ages where I was playing actual legitimate competitive ball, right? It wasn't the coach pitch anymore where we didn't keep score, where you just played the game for the sake of learning the game and learning how to play the game and developing your talent. When it got to the point that we went, all right, we're keeping score now. Now we're keeping score to find out who is the best team. When we got to that point, my dad was harder on me than anybody else on that baseball diamond. I mean, he brought it down on me. However, there was another kid in the league. There was another kid in the league whose dad coached another team. We'll say last names. His first name was Thomas. His dad's name was Thomas Sr. They coached a different team. And the only I could tell it as a kid. The only reason that dude coached that team was because he believed his kid was Major League Baseball bound. That entire team revolved around him. He was the starting pitcher. When he wasn't pitching, he was the DH. He was this, that, and the other, whatever. It was very obvious what Thomas Sr. was doing for Thomas Jr. versus my dad, who put my ass on a bench in an all-star game because I wouldn't turn my hat around the right way. The right way. In batting practice, not even in a game, in batting practice, had my hat on backwards. He's like, turn it around. Ball players on the field wear their hat forward. Nuh-uh. Ken Griffey Jr. wears his backwards. Look, Sid. Look, son. Look, kid. You can turn it around like a real ball player. You can sit your rear end on the bench like a not real ball player. And for whatever reason, that was the moment Rob Brown decided he was going to stand on business. And do you know what happened? I got pulled from my start as the pitcher on 5 minutes' notice. My dad threw another kid who hadn't pitched, couldn't pitch, and we got our butts run off the diamond. All right? My dad utilized his ability as a coach to make me a better ball player and a better person. I think Bronny has that advantage in LeBron. I don't think there's any advantage. Did LeBron James use his sway to get Bronny drafted? Probably. Did LeBron James use his sway to get Bronny on the opening night roster? Probably. Does Bronny deserve to be on the opening night roster? I don't know. I don't know what else they got deeper down the bench that you could say that guy can help more than Bronny. What I do know is if there is a dude on planet Earth, at least this is how I feel about it. If there is a dude on planet Earth that's going to be able to look at Bronny in the face and go, hey, bro, you suck at this. Get better at it and not create a rift. It ain't J.J. Redick. It's LeBron James Sr.
So you've given the son perspective. Let me give you the dad perspective. So I wasn't their coach, but for everything that my son and daughter did, when they would get done, they would come off and I would say, you need to do this, you need to do this, and you know, mom, oh, you did a great job. It's like, no, he didn't or she didn't. She could do this better. And they would listen attentively and they would go out and try it. I got banned from all parents got banned from being beside the wrestling mat one day because I wanted Cameron to win so bad. And I knew he just needed to be thinking just a couple moves if he would just try those. So I went out on the side of the ring, the side of the mat. No one told me I couldn't do it. So I did it. And I'm yelling, hey, throw in a half there, shoot there, do this, do that. And he listened to me and he won his first match. And he come back and he thanked me for that, and then all parents got banned from the side of the mat. But I got to do it once, and then later on, I made my way back onto the mat when he was in upper state by announcing it. And then they couldn't keep me from the side of the mat. I could walk over whenever I wanted to and try to help him out. So, I mean, from a father's perspective, you're proud of your kids being out there, but you see the things that they could do better. And for the most part, they'll listen to their coach, but they will listen to you a little bit more because you're their dad.
I will tell you that of all the coaches I had, my dad didn't coach every team that I was on. My dad was the hardest coach I ever had on me. And also, and again, I acknowledge, and let me be very clear about this, and this is even a discussion we've had in this room, I acknowledge that I was very privileged to have an old man that cared, that was there, that was involved, that wanted to coach, that took time out of his day, out of his years to coach my teams and to coach me and to help me and my brother be better, not just better players, but better people. I acknowledge I was very privileged in that regard. Just like Bronny is very privileged, not just to have a dad, but to have the greatest ball player of all time as his dad. And a guy that was able to stick around in the league until he was 40 years old in order to have his son out there.
All right, according to Adam Schefter, it's happening. Titans and Chiefs are working to finalize a trade that would send wide receiver
DeAndre Hopkins
to Kansas City.
Holy smokes. Nuke headed to KC. Holy bleep, dudes.
What if they add Cooper Kupp, too?
You don't have that in you. You don't have that in you. But if you give me the choice, yeah, this is the one I'm going with. Holy smokes.
How much does Nuke have left, though? I mean,
does he have a year in him?
At least a year.
Then you're great.
And how would you not want to go to Kansas City and
hell
play
yeah.
your best?
Hell yeah.
I mean, Kadarius Toney was there and won the Super Bowl.
Hell yeah. That's stupid. That, you know how big that is? That's rearrange the water cooler cheat sheet in the next segment. Big. Now, it's being worked on.
Yeah, not a done deal.
Not a done deal.
According to Schefter, but they're working on it. He doesn't announce it if... Okay.
I mean, I'm going to go with Shefty doesn't drop this bomb if it's not at least almost done, right? Like, they may be working on it, but it's if Shefty's dropping this bomb on Twitter right now, it's because they're cleaning it up, not starting it.
Well, he was handed a memo, and according to the memo, here's when you're supposed to release this.
Oh, that's just never going to get let go, is it?
Oh, no.
Never going to get let go.
Should Shefty. I? Should I? No, I'm not going to. But anyway, this could be a benefit for the Kansas City Chiefs.
This is, I would say, of the team, of the roster-changing moves that have been made in season, this is, I'm going to say, Lonzo, and stick it out. Hear my explanation before we jump on. I'm going to say this is the second biggest move behind Amari Cooper to the Bills. Why? Because Patrick Mahomes has Kelce, has Xavier Worthy, right? And granted, those guys are 56th and 86th in pass catching efficiency so far this year. But he's already got Xavier Worthy. He's already got Travis Kelce. Rashee Rice is, what's Rashee's status? He's done, right? Or is he potentially late in the season return?
A potential late in season, I believe.
So you got maybe Rashee Rice coming back at the end of the year. I am going to say Josh Allen getting Amari Cooper. And is it fair to say Amari Cooper and Nuke are in the same tier of receivers? I would say so.
They are, but they're also guys with potential with the right quarterback to elevate even at their age.
I would agree with that as well. I would say Amari Cooper and Nuke are in the same tier of wide receivers, probably like second tier of wide receivers.
By the way, all you haters, I'm getting excited about this. And yeah, I know he played for Clemson. It's the NFL, dude.
Yeah, Lonzo and I do share one NFL philosophy, which is I don't give a damn what logo you wore in college when you get to the show. You could be on my fiercest rival. If you're a Saint, I am going to war. You could be my favorite college player of all time. If you are an Atlanta Falcon, I hope you stub your toe every Sunday at 11:30 a.m. I mean, that's just what it is. This is big. I'm going to say this is the... I'm going to say second biggest move so far of the in-season moves. I think Amari Cooper going to Buffalo is bigger because I think Josh Allen had less to work with than Patrick Mahomes did. And I think Amari Cooper and not just allowing Josh Allen to have a guy to get the ball to now, but I also think Amari Cooper opens up the field for Keon Coleman to continue to develop. And for the record, I do think Nuke opens up the field for Xavier Worthy to be even more stupid than he already is. This is not good news for everybody in the AFC, Lonzo, who's not effectively... Actually, it's bad news for Baltimore and Buffalo as well. Because Kansas City just upped the game in the arms race. I'm going to say, if I am sitting right now in the Ravens front office, if I am, who's the Ravens GM? Eric DaCosta. If I'm Eric DaCosta right now.
Wow, look at you.
And if I am Brandon Bean, who is the Bills GM right now. If I'm either one of those cats, I am on the phone with the Rams right now. I am on the phone with Les Snead right now, calling up like, yo, y'all for real about Cooper Kupp? Y'all for real about Cooper Kupp? Because that's that right now that we know of, that's the best wide receiver on the block is Cooper Kupp. Granted, a dinged up wide receiver, but he's the best wide receiver we know is on the block right now. And if I, even with Amare and Keon Coleman for Josh Allen, and even with Derrick Henry, Zay Flowers, et cetera, Rashad Bateman, who looked great in that game, even with those guys, I need another dimension now if Nuke's going to Kansas City. That's terrifying. All right, we'll talk more about this coming up in a minute. Water cooler cheat sheet, top three sports stories you need to know when we come back. All of that after Lonzo blows your pants off, metaphorically, with his sports flash.
Not a done deal yet. Hopefully it will be. The Boston Celtics began their title defense last night with a 132-109 win over the Knicks at home. Boston made 29 three-pointers, tying the record for most in a game by a team, but did miss their final 13 shots. Jason Tatum had 37 points, and Derrick Brown added 24. Lakers knocked off the Timberwolves last night, 110-103. Anthony Davis shot 11-23 from the field and added 13 free throws in a 36-point effort, while LeBron James added 16. The Lakers created 15 turnovers off of Minnesota. The rest of the league begins tonight, including Charlotte at Houston at 8 o'clock. Legendary Dodgers pitcher Fernando Valenzuela passed away yesterday at the age of 63 in Venezuela. Valenzuela pitched for 17 seasons and then served as the Dodgers Spanish language broadcaster until this year. Hey, tune in this Friday at 7 o'clock as the Burns Rebels takes on Spartanburg right here on The Fan Upstate.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.